It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 39. This is Belle,
Maya,
and Diane.
And unfortunately, sad face, Adam can't make this episode.
Yeah, so it's just going to be us girls today.
It's all about the girls. Girl chatter.
Yay!
Yay!
Woohoo!
Diane, we got some random stuff up, right?
We do. So, I don't know if you guys remember, but we were running a very exciting contest for the past couple weeks. And that contest is over, and the winner has been announced. So, I would like to say congratulations to Parker_Mitchell, I'm not quite sure how you say that, from Twitter. You should be receiving your prize in the mail from Adam, hopefully pretty soon. So yes, congratulations, and I hope you like it.
There's lots of awesome things in that package. I wish I won it.
I wish I won it too, but unfortunately I don't think we're qualified.
We weren't allowed to enter.
No.
No, but thank you to everyone who did enter. It was super fun.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you. Calendar stuff. We have some cool calendar stuff coming up. On November 24th, Taylor is scheduled to appear on Japan's Saturday Sound Studio for a special. So that's actually why she did Thanksgiving apparently early with her family, because she's going to be in Japan over Thanksgiving. So go Turkey.
Yes, Thanksgiving is, wait, that's Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep,
this is exciting. Happy early Thanksgiving, everybody.
On November 29th. Taylor is going to be performing at the ARIA Awards in Sydney, Australia. I'm so jealous. I want to go to Australia. And thanks for Forever Enchanted 13 on Taylor Connect for that tip. I love Australia. Can I go to Australia?
Can I go with you?
I mean, you can, but it's going to be kind of expensive.
Dang it.
The pesky money issue.
All right. On January 9th, her last calendar item, the People's Choice Awards are going to air. Yay! And that I'm definitely going to go to, for sure. So, awesome. Nokia in L.A. And Taylor is nominated for Favorite Female Artist, Favorite Country Artist, and Favorite Song for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. And the show airs on CBS. I don't know if we know the time. Probably like 7 Central.
Yeah, probably the normal 8, time.
Yeah, the normal time, yeah. And so that is a fan-voted award show, so go to peopleschoice.com/PCA/vote and vote for Taylor.
Vote, vote, vote. I think you can vote. Is it unlimited? I think it might be. If it's not unlimited,
that or once
it's
a day.
At least daily.
Yeah, so daily.
Do that.
So at least once a day. So make sure to go there daily if you, and vote for Taylor. She needs
support.
So.
Yes, she does.
Yay. She needs her support. Yes, for sure. And also, if anybody on this show watches The Big Bang Theory, Kaylee, I never remember how to pronounce her last name.
Cuoco, I think.
Cuoco? Okay. Well, she's hosting again. She did last year, too, and she did a really good job. So the awards are really fun, and I hope that Taylor wins her. Maya has some news for us.
Okay. our first item of news is that the first shows on the Red Tour have sold out. Which is really exciting for Taylor, and congratulations if you managed to get tickets. You must be really excited. I don't have any tickets yet, but when I do,
but we will get them.
I'm sure I'll be excited about them. And the remaining shows are going to go on sale soon, so if you haven't yet, go to taylorswift.com and sign up for the email list so that you can get emails when shows in your area are going on pre-sale, and then you can get awesome tickets. Yay! I heard some crazy thing that Taylor sold out the two shows at the Staples Center in 1 minute.
That explains why I couldn't get tickets, because I was online at exactly the time that tickets were going on sale, and it was like, sorry, we can't find anything. It's like, really?
Like, that is craziness.
Yeah, it's insane.
So yeah, don't feel discouraged if you didn't get tickets, because they sold out really fast. But anyways, there's more dates that have been added and more shows going on sale soon, so go to taylorswift.com. Get all the info about that. And our second news item is that, in case you missed it, Taylor performed State of Grace live for the very first time on X Factor. And it was really cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like every time she does a live performance, she just gets awesomer and awesomer.
Yeah. I liked how she sort of changed it up and did like a combination of like the acoustic version and the other version, like the normal version.
That was really cool. She did a very good job. She's so creative.
Yeah. I love how, like, you think that you know what she's going to do from hearing the songs, and then she just completely surprises you every single time.
Yeah. Exactly. She's crazy like that, but in a good way. So the AMA's there tonight. Yay!
Yay, those were cool.
You know what was even awesomer?
What was awesomer?
Taylor won.
She did. She won a favorite female country artist.
She did!
And that's the fifth time that she's won that.
I'm so excited for her. Yay!
Me too. And now Taylor has 11 American Music Awards.
She does. That is really cool. Only two more before she has 13. And she'll probably hit that in maybe 2013? Maybe? Possibly?
Oh, hey guys.
Whoa!
Adam?
Adam?
Yes?
Well, what are you doing here?
Sorry to interrupt your all ladies episode with my manly man voice. Hey. Deep voice. But something cool happened at the AMA, so I had to jump in. It seems like I can never let you guys get through an all-girls episode, ever.
Yeah, you have to add your XY chromosome into the mix.
Let's talk about the AMA performance, because... whoa.
Right?
Okay, I'm sorry, I am so excited about this. I keep watching the video over and over. It's like Phantom of the Opera meets Rocky Horror Picture Show with, like, a touch of Britney Spears, and it's all in this, like, freaky, risque Las Vegas headlining act. That's how
that
I saw
it. A lot of adjectives.
Yeah, that really was. You really took the cake on that one, Adam.
Hey, I think I hit the nail on the head with that one. That was a perfect description of what it was. What did you guys think?
Pretty much. I was blown away by it. Like, when I was watching it, I was like, oh my gosh, there are strobe lights, there's fog, there's, like, this whole gothic thing, kind of Phantom of the Opera masquerade. And
that's what I thought, too.
Right?
I was like, wow, this is actually a little bit gothic. And then I'm looking at Taylor and saying the word gothic in my head and just amazed that she actually made me think of that word because I never thought I'd put those two things together.
Well, I think that's perfect, though, because that's the feel you get from the song. The song is very dark and scary, so I think it was a very, like, artistic interpretation of what the song is supposed to portray.
No, I fully agree with you. And honestly, like, all I could think of was, oh my god, I'm so excited for the Red Tour.
I hope she performs I Knew You Were Trouble just like this for the tour, because everybody's going to be so excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was extremely successful in that regard, and I really hope that she considers that and takes it to the Red Tour, because we will be screaming our heads off nonstop.
It was super cool. Like, what about that, like, costume change right in the middle of the thing? They ripped the white dress off, and now she's in this black and red dress, and it was like,
I kind of knew that was going to happen just by looking at her boots.
Yeah, and I think there was a part where you could kind of see the red from her sleeve. But in Speak Now, if I remember correctly, she didn't have any onstage costume changes, and she did have two in Fearless. So hopefully she brings those back for the Red Tour.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the beginning of, like, should have said no when she's in the hoodie and jeans, and then they tear it off and she's wearing the dress.
Okay, sorry. Then she has three costume changes, because I was thinking she had one for You Belong With Me, and then she had one for Love Story.
True. That's true. Yeah, she needs to bring that back for the Red Tour, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had a feeling when I saw her boots.
My memory
I have
must
a great
suck.
Memory.
I have a good memory, too. When I saw her boots during the performance, like, when she first started, I was like, oh, this is going to be a costume change moment. I just knew it in my head. I don't know.
Well, that performance overall was just stellar. I mean, the chandeliers that were flipping the lights on and off, and then the fog machines going poof, poof, and pyrotechnics and lights, and...
and then those dancers, too. Those dancers really impressed me.
Yeah, they were over-the-top awesome.
They were super cool. Like, I keep watching the video on repeat, the YouTube video, over and over and over and over.
Me too. And I think this is the first award show performance that I've ever done that with. Like, usually I watch them and I'm like, okay, that was fine. That was good for, like, you know, the 4 minutes that it was on. But this one, I just can't get enough and I want to keep watching it.
Yeah, that's because you're obsessed with Phantom of the Opera, but that's okay. So, did you guys see it as portraying the song accurately as well?
Oh, for sure. For sure. It was just like, it just had that power to it that song brings out in you, which we'll discuss at a later episode, but yeah.
It did have power, but I'm not sure how much the setting, like, contributed to the song, like, the actual, like, words and story of the song, but I liked it, but I just don't know how they were related.
Well, that's why I said a few minutes ago, I think it was a very artistic interpretation. It wasn't a literal interpretation of the song, but it picks up on the themes of the song, which are dark and scary and, and I hate this guy, and I knew you were trouble before you walked in, and it's picking up on that whole tone of the song rather than the story of the song.
That's true.
I definitely felt like it picked up on, Adam hit the nail on the head. It picked up on the emotion that the song brings out of you. Like, I mean, when you're just listening to that song, you just feel like, you feel like that she's been slapped in the face with this realization. Like, dang it, I knew it. I should have known, you know what I mean? And it's just this, like, moment of, like, intensity and darkness and kind of frustration. And I feel like the performance really did a good job in capturing that, like, moment of intense emotion.
Do you know what it was? Is, you know that, what's that weird form of dance? The thing, interpretive dance. It was like interpretive dance on steroids.
Right. That's a great way to describe it.
Nice.
That's what it was. It was totally interpretive.
So overall, I think Taylor definitely stole the show of the night.
Oh, doesn't she always? Isn't that why they put her at the end? Because they know she's the best.
Right. She was, I think, what was she, like the 14th performance or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, she was back there. And they did that, you know, to keep viewers in, because I know that a bunch of Swifties were waiting to watch Taylor's performance.
Oh, I saw that all over Twitter, people being like, oh, now we got to watch the whole show.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Good, smart tactic, though.
Oh, on their part, yeah. And, like, how cool is it? Like, Taylor just has totally upped her game with these performances, because obviously she was in front of a ton of other performers as well. Being an award show and all. So it's like, she no longer is out to impress her fans. Like, she's out to impress the entire industry, too.
Yeah, that's true. I think she's just always trying to, I don't know, I wouldn't say top herself, because I know that she has said about her tours, at least, that she never tries to top her tours. She just tries to make everything different. And I think she's just been really obsessed lately with making things different and unexpected. And she's doing a very good job at both of those things.
Oh, heck yeah, she is.
Like, there's no possible way that you could ever put her in a box. You for never sure. Know what's coming next.
You're my girl, Tay. Woo, woo.
Oh, gosh, I just saw your fist in my head.
How'd you know I was making a fist when I did that?
Because we know you.
That was highly impressive.
We do.
Highly impressive. So
we do.
Overall, how many thumbs up does this performance get?
Two. And then if I had more thumbs, I'd give him more than that.
Yeah, definitely 2+.
This is among her best performance yet. I'm so ecstatic. I was so excited to watch it. I'm going to put it on repeat again. And I'm also going to put it up on TaylorTalk.org in the episode guide, so you can all repeat it over and over and over again. But for now, I'm sorry I interrupted your all-girls episode. I hope the intrusion wasn't too much of an inconvenience. Hope you'll all forgive me.
Oh, we forgive you.
We forgive you. We're just kicking you off again.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad I'm invited back to my own show. Thank you. But anyway, get back to the All Girls episode. I hope you all don't miss me too much. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
So we have some mini segments. Woohoo!
Yay for mini segments.
Yay, mini segments. All right. We're going to start kicking off with a tweet from Party with Taylor. If Swifties ruled the world, it would rain confetti and glitter. And I cannot be the only one who loves it when it rains confetti and glitter at her concerts.
I know.
That's my favorite part.
It's so fun. That is the best part of the concert.
And I don't know how, but somehow, like, at all the shows that I've been to have actually been in the area where the confetti falls on you. And it's, like, the best thing in the world. You just get rained on. My favorite was actually the Back to December snow. That was so cool.
Oh, I loved that.
Because, like, I was in the pit for that. So it's like you get it all. Like, I have a purse that I took to that show, and it is still full of white confetti to this day.
You haven't
because my purse was on the floor, and it all just fell in there.
This next one comes from Crazy Swifty via email. And they say, you know you're a Swifty when, whenever you and your friends finish a sentence, you say, like ever, in a Taylor accent.
I'm so guilty of that.
I say that all the time now.
Same here.
All right, our next one is from SwiftyTay99 on Twitter, and they said, you know you're Swifty when you get all excited when someone mentions the name Taylor, and then remember that Taylor Swift isn't the only person in the world named Taylor. That has happened to me before. Like, someone says Taylor, and I turn around, like, what? And I'm like,
where is
oh.
she? Like, oh, wait, it's just, like, an average person, not actually
Taylor Swift. Where?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I do that, too. I, like, perk whenever I hear the name Taylor, and then people look at me weird. I'm like, never mind. So our last one is a voicemail from Mia.
Hey, it's Mia from Australia. You know you're a Swiftie when everyone calls you Taylor. You can reach me on Taylor Connect at Taylor_XO. See ya!
That happens to me, actually. I know a lot of people that call me Taylor just because I'm like I'm a Swiftie. So
I'm sure. Well, you also kind of look like her sometimes, too.
Sometimes, so. Depending on how I do my makeup and my hair.
Yeah, but you can totally pull off the Taylor look.
Thank you.
So we had a special request by Catherine to discuss a particular song on the album Red, today.
And that song is, Beau?
Holy Ground.
Yay!
Which is good, because I have a lot of suspicions and opinions and questions about this song.
Awesome. Sounds like we're going to have a good discussion about it.
Yeah. Perhaps might. Well, what do you guys, before I even start my banter, what do you guys think about it?
Well, first, why don't we read this quote here that I have from Taylor. It was from her Stories from the Songs video that hopefully we can put in the episode guide that so you guys can watch it. So this is what Taylor says about the song Holy Ground. The song Holy Ground is about a song that I wrote about the feeling I got after years had gone by, and I finally appreciated a past relationship for what it was, rather than being bitter about what it didn't end up being. And I was sitting there thinking about it after I had just seen him, and I was like, you know what? That was good. It was good having that in my life.
Hearing that quote and then listening to the song and really paying attention to the lyrics, Taylor, I'm a huge fan of you. I heart you to death, but I'm not really convinced.
You're not convinced?
Why? I'm not convinced. I feel like, I understand the point that she's trying to make, and, you know, I have been in those shoes before where I've looked back at a past relationship that I once had a million feelings about and cried over and everything and been like, okay, you know what? I'm finally moved on and I'm over it. And so I understand what she's saying. But then when you look at the lyrics, I feel like she's still remembering the good parts about it in like nostalgia. And I feel like there's like a hidden sadness there.
I feel like that too, especially in the second part of the song. When she says, I'm going to dance for all that we've been through, but I don't want to dance if I'm not dancing with you.
Exactly.
So it kind of seems like she still is happy about what happened, but then she still wishes that she was still in a relationship with him. So I was kind of confused about that. Like, how is Taylor feeling in this song? Because I get that she's happy that she had this relationship with this person and she feels like it was a good thing in her life. But then at the same time, I feel like she still wants it back.
Like, I feel like it's a weird place to be in, but I feel like it sort of makes sense. I know that I've experienced this. I don't know if you have, but, like, if you're, like, in between relationships or you, like, have been single for a while, you start thinking about your past relationships and, like, missing, like, very specifically the good things about them. Do you know what I mean? It's like you, yeah. Like, you're suddenly, because you're all, like, single and lonely, and you're like, oh, remember that? That was so great. I wish I could have that back, because I was happy. And you, like, selectively don't remember all of the reasons why that relationship ended.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. I feel like this, I mean, not that I know, of course, but I feel like she might have written this, you know, when she was single and, like, oh, yeah, that was good when I did that.
Maybe it's not necessarily that she misses being in a relationship with that person. It's just that she misses those feelings that she had when she was in a relationship. Do you think
it could be that? Yeah, I mean, I think it could be.
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's possible. I just think, like, there's just certain lyrics that really make me wonder about what she's getting at. Like the lyrics, we blocked the noise with the sound of I need you, and for the first time I had something to lose. And those lyrics could definitely, like, fall into place with what she's saying, with, like, reminiscing and remembering things that that relationship made her feel, and maybe the lessons that they taught her about, like, that she applies to her, you know, life in present day. But then there's certain things, like the lyric that Diane, you mentioned, that's like, I don't want to dance if I'm not dancing with you. And that sounds like a current thought.
Yeah, I guess, which again makes sense with, like, if you're, you know, looking back on a relationship that had parts of it that were very good. You can feel nostalgic to the point where, like, you actually miss that person. Even though, like, you know, the rational part of your head is like, that was a bad relationship, and I know why it ended, and blah, 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 blah. But, like, then there's the other voice, and, like, but it was so good, and I miss them.
Yeah, and then the only mention that Taylor has in this song to a breakup is in the second verse when she says, well, I guess we fell apart in the usual way. So yeah. What's the usual way? What does that mean?
Honestly, when I hear that line, it reminds me of a line in Story of Us where she's like, simple conversation, miscommunication leads to fallout.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like they broke up because of a miscommunication?
Well, I mean, I think that in the end, that's, you know, I mean, taking away all of the millions of details that are always going to be included, that's basically what leads to a breakup. Things just kind of clash, and you say things you don't mean, they say things they don't mean, you misinterpret things they say, like, you know, I mean, that's kind of like the start of, like, a fight that ends up leading to a breakup in general. I mean, like I said, you know, pushing aside all the millions of details that are always included, but...
Yeah, I think when you break it down, it does always start with some sort of simple complication.
I think that's probably what she was referring to, is just... I mean, if you look at Taylor's life and her past relationships, you know, she's got an incredibly busy life, and the people that she dates have incredibly busy lives. I think probably the biggest challenge for her, and for anybody that she's with, is finding the time to be together.
Yeah. That would be hard. Just, like, different, you know, schedules conflicting and, like, well, I can see you this month on this day and that's it. Yeah, that would be really hard. So maybe the usual way what she's talking about is, like, usual way for her and why relationships end for her because of the distance and the time. It could be that.
That's true. That's true. That could be it, too. You know, just dealing with that. And I think that, you know, I remember she made a, I can't remember, she did some interview and she made a statement, and she was like something about, she was talking, she mentioned that whole thing about the time and the distance, and she's like, if a guy can only see me once a month, that's not going to work for me. If a guy can only not go out in public, that's not going to work for me either. Like, she had like this list of things in her head that she's like, this isn't going to work, and it's because of relationships that she had in the past that she had to deal with that issue. And I don't know, just, like, thinking about it from her point of view, that's gotta be tough, you know? I mean, all of that. The time, the distance, the different opinions about, like, being public or not. And I was always laughing when she's like, well, if we have to dig a hole out of a restaurant to leave it, that's not gonna work for me. I just think that she definitely has a challenge ahead of her in any relationship. All right, now here is the one question I have for you guys, though.
Okay, what is it?
Okay.
Another big mystery about this song. Who is it about?
Oh my goodness. This song stresses me out. I need to say that. This song stresses me out.
This song is stressful. Like, when I first heard it, it took off so fast and it just started going. And I was like, whoa, we are listening to this Taylor Swift song now. Like, she's already on, like, line number 7, and it's only been, like, you know, 6 seconds.
Yeah, I know, it's like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, like, wait, what happened? Yeah, so this song really does, like, take
I don't
off
know, like, I went into the song being sure that it was about Jake, and I thought that for a long time, because there are details that make sense, like, the way that she's described the relationship, and the details about New York City, which is where a lot of their relationship was, and whatever. But then suddenly I see this thing about thinking about a past relationship and years later, and I'm like, wait a second. And then I start thinking maybe it's about Joe Jonas? Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Well, Maya, you were talking about earlier the secret message in this song. It was like, what?
Right, which is another source of stress, because... if you have looked at the secret messages, which I'm sure you have, it's when you came to the show in SD.
Yes. So at first we're assuming that was San Diego.
We assumed it was San Diego, and I remember that Joe Jonas had gone to some California show, so I'm like, oh, it's him, okay. Start doing some internet research. He never went to the San Diego show.
At least to our knowledge, and I don't know who went to a San Diego show.
I don't know either.
I mean, it could have been someone that Taylor dated that we just don't even know about. Because,
like, I know that Taylor Lautner went to a California show too, but as far as I know, he only went to Los Angeles.
Yeah, he went to.
Here's
the
another
LA
possibility.
Too.
I have another possibility. What if it wasn't even the Speak Now show in San Diego? What if it was
but,
the Fearless
no,
show?
No, but I don't think so, because this song is on this album, and we know that she writes in real time, and it says in this little quote, "I was sitting there thinking about it after I had just seen him."
Oh, okay, okay.
So, like, it can have been. It has to have been someone who came to a show on Speak Now. I mean, unless someone was really sneaky, like, or she, like, randomly dated someone who's not famous. But, like, it's Taylor Swift. Like, she can't date people and have the world not know.
Right, but I think she said on Katie that there were songs on this album about someone that we might not even know about. And I don't know if that was her just trying to be coy and sneaky, like, aha, you guys don't
know.
She's
just trying to steer us in the wrong direction.
That's true. That's possible.
Oh, I don't know. It confuses me. Like, my gut feeling is that it's about Joe Jonas somehow. But logically, I have not been able to make that make sense yet.
Yeah. Another possibility is that maybe SD doesn't stand for San Diego. Maybe she's being really sneaky and using it as either the name of an arena or, I don't know.
South Dakota.
But, like, would you, but if you were saying a sentence, like, about an arena, like, you wouldn't say in. Like, when you came to the show in Staples Center.
You would say
that's
at.
That's true. That would say at.
It's awkward. I don't know. If anyone knows anything about this, tell us.
Taylor, you are sneaky.
Why do you do this to us?
She did say at the web chat that she was trying to make the secret messages more confusing this time.
Well, she wins.
Because she thought she was being confusing on Speak Now, and we all figured it out in 3 seconds. And I'm thinking, Taylor, you wrote their names. Like, how sneaky do you think that was?
You guys, how did we ever figure out that Hey Steven was about Stephen Barker Lyles?
Unless.
I don't know. Unless she used his name and wrote the band name in the secret messages.
Okay, hold on. What if Taylor went to someone else's concert in San Diego?
But it's when you came.
Oh,
wait, you mean like a date?
Yeah.
Well, like if. Well, I suppose not if it's when you came.
It's when you came to the show.
Okay,
unless
just kidding. Never mind.
She went to a show and someone else came to the show.
Yeah.
That she was at.
Oh. Very astute point, Maya.
But I know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know when Taylor was in San Diego for anything other than her own concert.
Right.
Well, yeah, but we wouldn't always necessarily know everything.
Mm-hmm. I feel like she can't, like, go to a concert without people knowing.
I don't know. I mean, she could put on a hoodie and some sunglasses and, like, hide in the crowd.
That would be creepy.
Maybe, but I don't know.
That
she's
tall,
like,
girl.
Like, I feel like if you're, like, standing next to her, like, if you look over, like, you wouldn't be like, oh, hello, random person. Like, you would know who that is.
Yeah.
And then someone, if anyone has a Twitter, they would not be able to resist, like,
I'm sitting next to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but Taylor, you baffled us, and we're not happy.
We're confused.
I mean, the only other person I can think of that we haven't talked about is maybe Adam Young, because I know she met him in New York.
But they didn't date, though.
Yeah, all they had was the awkward exchange of Enchanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you have
to answer your question, Belle, we're mystified.
Yes, we are.
What this is about.
And
I mean, I want to lean toward Joe Jonas, but I cannot be confident in saying that I'm positive about that.
Yeah, she definitely leaves it very vague. So if you have any thoughts about this, listeners, you can tweet us at TaylorTalk13.
Or leave us a voicemail about it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we love voicemails.
We like voicemails. They make us happy. So in conclusion, the song is confusing as to who it's about. Taylor, you have confuddled us with your secret message this time, which is a definite achievement of yours, because usually we kind of figure them out pretty quick. So there's that. And then there's the part where the song itself, we're not quite positive if you really are over the situation or what. Very interesting between the past and the present lyrics. That's the last thing I'll say about it. There's, like, lyrics that are definitely, like, talking about the past, and then there's, like, the present thoughts in it.
Very true, but I think that could be the point of the song, like trying to piece through how you feel and trying to figure it out with words and music. And I mean, it's probably true that since we can't figure out how Taylor feels in this song, maybe Taylor couldn't figure it out either, and that's why she decided to write about it.
Very good point. I mean, after all, that's why I write, when I don't know how I feel about something.
It's like therapy, really.
It really
it's
is.
Like, you just sit down and you're like, I don't know what I'm feeling, and you write it and you're like, oh, I guess that's how I'm feeling. Sometimes it kind of catches you off guard.
So true.
You're like,
so
oh, true. I feel like that.
I don't see that coming. There we go. There is this perfect line of everything I'm feeling, and I didn't know how to say it before.
Yep.
That's true. Maybe the song, the point of her writing the song was to try and figure it out for herself. So, overall, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm going to say two thumbs up because it's catchy. And this song is a great song to listen to in the car when you're driving. It makes me happy. Even though I'm confused about what she's feeling, it still makes me happy.
I don't know. I'm like a 1.5 on this one. Like, I have not warmed up to it yet. I like it, but I don't love it. I don't know. I think it's really interesting. It's like this, it's just this very interesting song.
I'm gonna give it one thumb up because I really like the song, but I'm sitting here all confused and frustrated.
So you're gonna give it one thumb up because it like hurts your brain? That's why?
Yes. I'm like, I like the song, but the very existence of the song just makes my brain hurt.
Oh. Taylor's contributing to Belle's headaches.
I mean, I give Taylor credit for actually, like, doing that to me and making me all confused and making my brain hurt. But at the same time, I'm just like... So, yeah. Just for the grunty frustration, I have to give it one thumb up. So who's ready for another round of What Would Taylor Do?
I am. Because we didn't have one last week, did we?
So this one came from a voicemail from Mia. So let's hear from Mia.
Hi everyone, my name's Mia. What would Taylor do if Austin became a bigger pop star than she was?
Well, that's an interesting thought. Especially because Austin doesn't like fame.
Not that I know of, no.
He wanted to take pictures with people.
Yeah, exactly.
At concerts.
And he doesn't like to go a lot of places that Taylor is.
One of my goals in life is to get Austin Swift to take a picture with me.
Well, good luck with that, because he says no to everyone.
Well, maybe I can take a picture nearby him and point. And I can have a picture with Austin, even if he didn't consent to it.
You can try.
Yeah, I can try. Yeah, so I don't know if Austin's not cool with taking pictures with fans, I don't know if he would be happy about being a pop star.
I mean, but let's just pretend that Austin would want to be a pop star. What do you think Taylor would do about it?
Well, I think she'd be really supportive.
What kind of pop star do you think Austin would be? Like a Justin Timberlake?
I would think more of a rock star, if anything. Like, I can't see Austin being a pop star. I can't see Austin jamming with Justin Timberlake.
I would like to see that, though. I think that would be fun. And I know Taylor loves Justin Timberlake.
Austin could be like, I don't know, like, not exactly like Jason Mraz, but kind of like Jason Mraz.
You know
Mraz.
What? I just thought about something. Nice. And I would see him more as like, I mean, obviously I don't know, so this is a complete wild guess, but like, instead of necessarily being a pop star, more of like a famous comedian.
Yes,
back
he's
in like the
funny.
MySpace days. No, back in the MySpace days, like 2007 era or whatever, when he was in like eighth grade or something, he had his MySpace and he had it private and you could like request to be his friend. Mm-hmm. And then you had to put something in the name field. And we figured out that he would only accept friend requests from people that would put McLovin in the name field.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Yeah. And a lot of his tweets are really funny too.
Yeah.
Did
he delete his Twitter?
No, I don't remember. I get confused.
Well, I thought I heard he did, but maybe he didn't. Oh, sorry, that page does not exist.
He does have an Instagram, though. Or at least he did.
Yeah, he deleted his Twitter. That's sad.
It is.
Well,
then again, though, think of how many people were probably tweeting him, like, tell your sister hi for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, well, go away.
If he was a famous comedian, I think that Taylor would be very supportive. And also, if he was a singer, I think Taylor would be supportive. Like, she's that kind of person.
Yeah, and that's true. And I don't think she would be jealous if her brother became like a bigger thing than she was. I don't think she's competitive like that, especially not with family.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she ever got into this for the fame. I think she did it to do what she loves and, you know, make music and make people happy.
I agree. I think that she, I mean, especially from everything that she said about how she started off, I think she just started writing songs because she was lonely and she was just trying to figure out her feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that she'd be really supportive. I don't see her being, like, competitive or jealous either.
No, me neither.
I mean, she'd probably go to everything that she could and just support him in any way she could.
I mean, she used to go to, like, his football games. And I mean, not football, lacrosse games.
Lacrosse games, yeah.
In high school.
Yeah, I'm sure that whatever he's doing now, she's being supportive of, too.
Yeah.
Go Taylor and go Austin. Even though... Go Austin Swift!
Yeah, go Swift family.
Go Swift family! I love the Swift family. So yeah, that's all my thoughts I have on that one.
Me too.
So thank you, Mia. So guys, what are Swifties listening to?
Well, this one was submitted by Hannah at Swift Agency 13. And she says, what are Swifties listening to? Drumroll. You by Emily Brooke. I listened to this song on iTunes, and I thought it was really good. It's very similar to Taylor's Tied Together with a Smile. And Emily, I want to say she's like a young teenager, and she has a really good voice for a young teenager, so you guys should check her out. She's also a fellow Swiftie, so that's exciting. Awesome. Too.
Oh, yay!
Yay!
I really like that Tied Together. I mean, I haven't actually listened to this song yet, so I will have to go listen to it when I'm recording, but I really like Tied Together with a Smile, especially like knowing what it's about and everything.
Yeah. You know,
it just makes it really special and sweet and personal. So I definitely will have to go listen to that song. Emily Brooke's song, You. So thank you for that submission. Who submitted it?
Hannah. Swift Agency 13.
On Twitter. Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Hannah.
Yes, thank you.
So that is about it for our All Girls episode. Sorry, Adam. We miss you. Sort of.
Sort of.
Kind of. Maybe a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit. Just like half an inch.
Well, I'm sure he'll be back next week in full swing.
He will be back in very full swing. I am quite positive of that. Yeah. And he'll be like, what were you saying about me in the last episode?
Well, we actually didn't say anything. Yeah, you know, we really didn't talk about him, did we? I remember our first All Girls episode we did. We made some comment about him talking about his favorite pair of jeans and his butt looking good in them. And we were making fun of him for that.
That was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
But we were good in this episode.
My butt looks amazing!
Yeah.
Oh, and he told us, Diane, I think the last time we were in Las Vegas together, me and you and Adam, I think he said to us, he's like, every time I wear those jeans now, I just love how my butt looks.
He does.
Oh,
see,
boy.
Look, we talked about it again. You're welcome, Adam.
Yep.
I'm sure he's very appreciative of that.
Had one more quick conversation about Adam's feelings about his own butt.
Because that's what everybody wants to hear about, right?
Sure, everyone's just dying to hear about it all. So anyways, Adam, we will see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next week. And hope you guys enjoyed our banter about Holy Ground. And please tweet us and voicemail us your thoughts, because I want to know what everyone else thinks. My brain is just frustrated and confused, and I want more conversation.
Yeah, hopefully you guys can help Belle with her headache. And
please, please do.
Yeah.
All right, so for episode 39, this has been Belle,
Maya,
and Diane.
We will see you guys next week, Virtual Hand Hearts.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.
Hey, guys. It's Adam. I snuck back in here with a special treat for you. Thanksgiving's coming up tomorrow, or if you're listening to this late, you may have already had Thanksgiving, but I've got a special turkey song for you. It goes like this. Turkey, 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 gobble, gobble, gobble. You eat a whole bunch and you wobble, wobble, wobble. Bye, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.